Let us pray. You, O God, are one of limitless, unconditional love. Remind us again that this love spans time and space, that it penetrates us, cutting through self-doubt, self-confidence, and self-loathing. We are loved totally and completely. Write that message on our hearts in this time, that it might live there for all time. We ask this and all our prayers in the strong name of the risen Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This one verse, even more than that golden rule that we all know from the gospel writers, is known among Christians and non-Christians alike. Oddly enough, in our lectionary, this three-year cycle of reading through the Bible, this reading only comes up twice. That said, we're surrounded in our lives by this verse. John 3:16, we see it written on bookmarks, on keychains, we see it on cards and wristbands. We see fans at sporting events with it written on signs. Even football players had it written under their eyes for a time there. It's everywhere. But what do you think it means? Why does it touch us so deeply? What does this verse mean to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. One of the main reasons that I think this particular chapter and verse touches so many people is because of the greatness of the gift that was given. Christ, God's only begotten Son, came into the world to free it from the chains of sin and brokenness, chains that shackled humanity. More than that, Jesus died for the effort, making the gift that was given that much more meaningful. But more than the gift that was given, though, I think it speaks to a hope. It's a hope that we have, that in our present age, we will receive such a gift. We see the good that Christ was able to do during his time on earth, and we see how much this world could use that goodness, and so we hope. We read about the lives forever changed for having known him, and we long to be changed like that, and so we hope. We hear how he lived and breathed the kingdom of God's love, and we yearn to be led in such a way, and we hope. But deep down, maybe we're a bit jealous of our first century brothers and sisters, because they didn't just read about Christ. They witnessed the Christ happening. Of course their faith was strong. They saw the miracles. We just read about them. We take somebody else's word for it, maybe a few somebody's. So even though we missed out on the physical incarnation of Christ in the world, we celebrate the fact that he was here. He came. He healed. He saved. He loved. So that's worth remembering. It's worth reading about. It's worth putting on bookmarks, on keychains, on posters, so that we never forget the gift that was given for people then and now. And I say now because it's not a gift that was given and never again. We might be 2,000 years removed from the incarnation of Christ in the world, but that doesn't mean that he's absent from our lives. Christ's own words and the words of the gospel writer John give us comfort and confirmation that the gift of Christ, it's an eternal one. He may have come to a time and a space, but his gift, his being, is eternal. In Christ's life, before he died and was raised, he told his disciples that he would not leave them orphaned, that though he would leave, they would not be left alone. And this is where we come back into the picture. His promise is fulfilled in the moving and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. We aren't just readers of those amazing miracles. We are the ones who experience holy grace. We are the ones who are called to shape the world by its loving power. Few would deny, I think, that at some point in their lives, maybe today, maybe even every day, they felt that warm wave wash over them when they engage in worship and praise. Does anybody know what I mean when I say that warm wave that washes over you? We feel it sometimes during a particular prayer or a reading or a hymn. We feel it pretty powerfully in acts of worship like today. But just as often, we feel it when we live into acts of worship and praise in our day-to-day lives. This can be something as simple as offering a helping hand to someone in need. But it's also when we offer the story of our encounter with the Christ, our gospel story. We tell those stories when Christ truly entered our lives, emptied our hearts of all the idols that we loved, and made room only for him and for service to God's children. But this is about more than how the Holy Spirit moves and acts through us. It's about the Christ being a gift for all, of all times, and not just for some at one time. This week we had our Thursdays in Lent. We continued that journey. And during it, we were exploring who Christ is for us. It's a simple question, but it's one that many of us, especially cradle Christians, those born and raised in the church, gloss over. We take it for granted. Who's Jesus for us? Who is Jesus Christ for us? When was our Damascus Road moment? Has it even happened yet? For those wondering, Paul, the writer of so many of the letters found in our holy book, met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. And along with being struck temporarily blind and permanently depleted in sight, his life was changed drastically and forever. I want you to think about that. When did you have a moment like Paul, where your world was changed so drastically? Or maybe from our first reading today, like Abram, when he was told by God to leave everything he knew, the safety and security behind, for a path that God had in mind. Maybe you've had a moment like that, or even a series of moments, because your life, like mine, required course correction. In that moment, when Christ enters our lives, as though for the first time, because every time is like the first time, we can be shattered within. Because in that moment, we realize an amazing, a humbling, a terrifying truth. That God loves us that much. We are so loved by our Creator that a plan was set in motion and carried out that would free the world from the grief and the strife that comes with sin and brokenness. So loved that God took human form to dwell with us, to walk beside us, to bless us, to teach us. So loved that in a time on earth, God also experienced humanity's tortured side, our sadness, our self-doubt, our grief, and our pain. So loved that God in Christ ran to and through death, tackling it to the ground so that for us, death is no longer an end, but a new beginning. It's amazing how big and how wide that love is. It shatters our own barriers while at the same time calling us to walk beyond those lines with the divine. It's an amazing love that can shine in and through all who reflect it. It becomes so bright that it can drive us to tears, that love light blinding us. And it's a humbling love because we are reminded that we are a world worth saving, a people worth redeeming, chosen to be stewards and caretakers of this world and of each other. But I also said it's terrifying. It's terrifying because often we don't think that we're worthy of that kind of love. I don't mean we as in the world or a people. I mean we individually rarely feel worthy of that kind of love. I also mentioned this on our Thursdays in Lent, because invariably when we talk about Jesus and who he is for us, ultimately we come back to love. We come back to the love that he had for us and the love that he called us to have for one another. I mentioned during that study two of the many times where Christ talks about love and how we are called to love one another. First, I mentioned it earlier, the golden rule. What is it? Do unto others you've had them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Two great commandments. Love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's great. That's a great rule. Most of the time. I say most of the time because there are times in our lives where we do not love ourselves. Times when we dread looking in the mirror because we know the face that's going to be looking back on us. Not everyone feels that all the time. But many people struggle to find their own self-worth. And that can turn to self-loathing. And that is a demoralizing and depressing place to be. Which brought me to another time where Jesus talks about love to his disciples. He said, love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. So even in those times and on those days when we find ourselves hard to love, we can extend the love of God and of Christ to our neighbors, to our friends, and yes, even to those that we find hard to love, our enemies, friends that we've had an argument with, and yes, even the person in the mirror. They are worthy of Christ's love too. Because to love as Christ loves us is to live and to love daily the love found in John 3:16. The words which remind us that all of us, that each of us is precious in God's sight. That in the darkest moments of our lives, when we feel that we are nothing, to Christ and to God, we are everything. That's why it's on bookmarks. That's why it's on keychains, wristbands, cards, and signs. Because it is a message that causes the beating of our hearts to quicken. Because in that verse, we are reminded over and over again that we are loved wholly, completely, utterly. Let us hear again and anew these saving words of hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Thanks be to God for this great and powerful love. Amen.